welcome out to Epic Redemption. Super stoked to be here tonight. Tonight's format is a little different than what we are used to doing. The Lord has kind of directed tonight to go in a little different direction. So, essentially what I want to share with you guys is something that I believe is really important for the church, and that is the gospel. Now, if you are a believer, you are probably thinking, oh, I've heard the gospel before, why do I need this? Well, we find in scripture several times, Paul reminding the church of what the gospel is. In fact, the reasoning behind that is because people had snuck it into the church and actually been teaching a gospel that was not the gospel at all. And Paul wanted to remind them, like, hey, this is not what I taught you. And I think we see that a lot in the North American church, a gospel being preached that is not the gospel at all. And so I want to help refresh and encourage and empower the church with the gospel message. I believe it is absolutely important for us as the church to know the real gospel, okay? And so the basic of the gospel, right, really is that God created us because he loved us and he wanted a relationship with us. But because of sin, when sin entered the world, sin led humanity into a broken world that leads us to live broken lives. And what that actually ended up doing was breaking that relationship between humanity and God. But what God wanted was that relationship to be restored. But he knew that there was only one way to do that, and that was through blood sacrifice. Now, I'm not going to go into all the Old Testament details of Old Testament blood sacrifice, right? But there had to be blood sacrifice of a lamb, right? So Jesus came, right, as that lamb. Jesus came as that sacrifice, right, to live a perfect life, to come in the form of a man, but fully God, to die on the cross, right, and pay that penalty of our sin, to be raised from the dead 3 days later, absolutely conquering death. And what Jesus says, and what we find in scripture, is the Bible says that anybody that puts their faith in Jesus and believes in him, repents, which means turn towards God, give your life over to God, they're baptized, receiving the Holy Spirit, will be saved. Jesus himself says in Mark that those that believe and are baptized will be saved, and those that do not believe will be condemned, right? And so we find that the gospel is a redemptive story that includes no works, right? There is nothing that you can do to be saved other than put your faith in Jesus Christ, repent, be baptized, and receiving the Holy Spirit. That is the salvation process, okay? Now, I want to make sure that you are hearing me correctly. I am not saying that baptism saves you, right? What we find out in Scripture is that baptism is actually the natural outcome of true salvation, right? We find out that when you put your faith in Jesus and when you repent, baptism is the first command of Christ. Therefore, it is actually a natural result of us being saved. So if you have put your faith in Jesus, if you have repented, but you have not been baptized, right, after being offered baptism and understanding baptism and you're not the baptized, you really haven't put your faith in Christ and you really haven't repented, because that is the definition of putting your faith in Jesus and repenting. It's being obedient to the commands of Christ, and that is being baptized, is what Jesus calls us to do. So salvation is super simple, guys. It is super simple, and all it is God wanted perfection. It was perfect. Sin entered in, broke that perfection. We became broken. Jesus came down to fix that brokenness. We put our faith in him. We repent. We're baptized, receiving the Holy Spirit. We are now forgiven of our sin. But what we have to understand, and it doesn't stop there, right? What Jesus wants us to do is grow in our faith, right? Which is what discipleship is all about, which is what, you know, these times together are all about. It's about growing in our faith, growing in our understanding, and being discipled so we can go out into the world and share this message with other people. Because we are all called to go share the good news. In Matthew 28, Jesus gives a great commission, right? And the great commission is to go and make disciples. That is a command given to all believers, all followers of Christ. So we are called to go share the gospel. And so I want to take some time and look at some scripture that really talks about the gospel, because it is important for us to understand that every single human being is headed towards death, because we are all sinners by nature. The Bible says that all of us are sinners, that nobody is good enough for God, that we all fall short of God's glory, and we all need to be saved and forgiven, right? That is what the Bible teaches. So it's important for us to understand what that really means. And so in the book of Romans, chapter 5, right, we read that, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which now we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So it's important there to understand that our salvation, right, is justified through our faith in Christ, not works we have done. I was just watching a show on Netflix, and there was a scene where the mother of the family went to confessions, and she wasn't really sure what to do, so she was asking the priest, like, what she needed to do, and the priest said, well, it's easy, and all you do is confess, and through me, God forgives your sin. That is not true. That is not biblical, right? There is nowhere in Scripture that the Bible teaches us that through another human being, our sins will be forgiven. Nowhere in Scripture do we find that God will forgive us if we go through another person, or that there's only certain people qualified to approach God. That is not scriptural. That is not Christianity. The only way that we can be forgiven is directly through Jesus Christ himself. And we all have that access to Christ Jesus. And that's great, because we've been justified through that faith. It's not works. I don't have to go to a priest and confess. But it's my relationship with Jesus Christ that justifies my sin and my salvation. Christ has done that work for us. Now, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope, and hope does not disappoint. Because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Guys, that is absolutely critical for us to understand. Because in Acts, we learn that we actually receive the gift of the Holy Spirit after we put our faith in Jesus, we repent, and we are baptized, right? Jesus was baptized and then received the Holy Spirit to rest on him permanently, right? And so this is important for us to understand. Paul is talking to born-again, baptized believers. This is the only possibility that we find in the New Testament. So who he is talking about here is God has poured out his love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us, that us, he is referring to, are born again, baptized believers. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Guys, that is so important. Because Christ died for us when we were still sinning against him, right? That is evidence that it is not our works that leads to salvation. It is the work of Christ on the cross that leads to salvation, that leads to the forgiveness of sin. Another really important point to make here is this is also evidence that there is no amount of good you can do to earn your salvation, which also means there is no amount of bad that you can have done to not be forgiven, right? Because Christ already died for you while you were sinning. So that notion that you have to get your life cleaned up before you come to Jesus is false. That notion that you've done too many bad things in your life for God to forgive you, that is false. Jesus came and died for your sins while you were sinning against him. Why? Because he loves you and he wants that relationship with you. So there is no amount of good you can do to be saved, and there is no amount of bad that you can do to not be saved. What is required for salvation is putting your faith in Jesus Christ, repenting, which is turning your life over to God, being baptized, and then receiving the Holy Spirit. And that is where you receive the love of God in your heart through the Holy Spirit, because he gave it to you through baptism. And then we find, right, so very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, some might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinning against him, he died for us. That's important for us to understand. God loves you. God wants you to be part of his family. God desires for you to be in a relationship. And God wants to forgive you of your sin. There is no sin big enough that God will not forgive. There is no sin small enough that does not need forgiving. Every single one of us needs to be forgiven. And only through Jesus Christ can we receive that salvation and the gift of eternal life. It is really important. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? There's the blood again. We are justified through the blood on the cross. Jesus' blood on the cross was enough. That was the payment for your sin, for my sin. Jesus died for us and bled for us in our place, so we do not have to die. Guys, this is an amazing, amazing story. For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Guys, that is absolutely an amazing point. If we were God's enemies when Jesus died for us, how much more life will we be living, and how much more salvation will we experience through his life, because he rose again from the dead? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Guys, that is beautiful, because that word reconciliation means that we are now back in a right relationship with God. If you have not put your faith in Christ and repented, admitted that you're a sinner, surrendered yourself over to God, and been baptized, receiving the Holy Spirit, if you have not done that, you have yet to be reconciled to God. And I want to plead with you tonight, if that is you, if you have not put your faith in Jesus, if you have not repented, if you have not been baptized, receiving the Holy Spirit, I want to invite you tonight to do that, to receive the forgiveness that Christ Jesus died for. That is a gift for you tonight. It is for you. We know you are a sinner. I know I am a sinner, but praise be the glory to God that he sent his son Jesus as a sacrificial lamb to die in our place, so we can be forgiven of our sin and spend eternity in heaven with him. If that is you tonight, if you have not put your faith in Jesus, if you have not repented and been baptized receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you do that and you bow down and you come to the Lord and you dedicate your life to Him. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, which was Adam, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all men sinned. Mankind, we have to understand that in the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve were not just one man and one woman. Adam and Eve also were representations of all of humanity. In essence, they were an ambassador of humanity. So what they did, right, reflected all of humanity. And when they sinned, all of humanity sinned because they sinned. Therefore, all of humanity was cursed because they were cursed, right? And so we are all sinners because of what Adam and Eve did. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as Adam, but who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Guys, what that means is because sin entered through one man, Adam, when Jesus Christ came, right, salvation came through one God-man, Jesus Christ, right? Just that one man, Jesus Christ, that is where salvation and freedom came. Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. So God reconciled us back to Himself through one act of righteousness, which was through Jesus, and brought life to all men who put their faith in Christ. For just as though the disobedience of the one man that were one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. So guys, what that means is because humanity was made sinful because of what Adam did, through the one act of obedience that Christ did, all of humanity is now capable of becoming saved if we put our faith in Him. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Guys, the gospel is very, very simple. You have sinned, not because of the actions you have done, but because of the one act that Adam did. The sin that is leading you to hell is not a result of what you have done in your life, good or bad. It is a direct reflection of the sin nature of humanity because of what Adam did. And that sin needs to be forgiven. Now, we are living in a brokenness. We are living slaves to the sin actions. We are slaves to that sin nature because we have yet to be forgiven. And if you feel like you are enslaved to sin, I want to plead with you right now to put your faith in Jesus Christ, to repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit, and start being discipled. And have and that, and your sins will be forgiven. Don't let people fool you into this idea that there's things you have to do, there's ways to do it. There's rituals that happen in a culture and an environment that they're neither good or bad. But what happens is they become detrimental when you start relying on those rituals for your salvation. We find Jesus actually condemning those in Scripture who relied on ritual for their salvation. It is because Jesus is the only way to God. And he is pleading with you. He is on his knees begging you to come and follow him. Put your faith in him. Be one of his disciples. That is the desire of his heart, and that is the desire of my heart, is to see your sin forgiven so you can start walking in life and growing in your faith through Jesus Christ. But Romans goes on and really starts talking about, well, this doesn't mean that you have permission to keep on sinning, right? It says, well, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Guys, that is super important for us to understand. When we put our faith in Jesus, when we repent and are baptized, receive the Holy Spirit, we are now dead to sin. We no longer have to walk in sin because we are no longer slaves to sin. Sin no longer controls our life. God does. We no longer have to walk in that. And what Paul is saying, like, why would you want to walk in that? If you are free from something that enslaves you, why would you want to walk in that any longer? You do not have to sin. You do not have to sin. But the great thing is when we commit an act of sin, that forgiveness is already there. I actually teach my kids, right? My kids are saved. All of them have put their faith in Jesus, and they've repented, they've been baptized, right? And something that, growing up as a child, that I remember praying a lot, especially at dinner, is, thank you, God, forgive me of my sins. And I actually teach them, like, guys, like, we no longer have to ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins. Our sins are already forgiven, right? If we have put our faith in Christ, our sins are already forgiven. We don't have to continually ask for forgiveness. Now, we can continually repent in the sense of, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me not to do that, or to help me become more like you. But we do not have to ask for forgiveness in the sense of this sin needs to be forgiven for salvation. That is not the case. Because when you put your faith in Jesus, right, all of your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. Right? That means you no longer have to ask for forgiveness. Right? But there is this process of sanctification, which is us continually growing to be more like Christ. And so you want to continue to grow more like Christ, but you may ask like God like to forgive you like relationally, right? But just like you would ask like your mom to forgive you or your sister or whatever. You don't have to ask for forgiveness from a salvation standpoint once you are saved. It is not like this continual salvation process. Once you are saved, your salvation is secure as long as you remain in the faith. That is what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that once you are saved, your salvation is secure as long as you remain in the faith. So what that means is as long as you do not reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your salvation is secure. Sin is not going to determine your salvation any longer because you have been forgiven. In God's eyes, you are clean once you have accepted Jesus Christ. And so if you are here today and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you are still living in sin, if you are still living in brokenness, and you need your sin forgiven, I want to give you the opportunity to turn yourselves over to God, ask for forgiveness, and welcome Him into your life so you can be forgiven and freed living in life. That is the simplicity of the gospel. Now, once we're saved, God desires for us, in fact, He commands us to be discipled and make disciples, right? There are things that He expects out of those who follow Him, but ultimately, because we have the Holy Spirit living in us, we will automatically start to do those things that Christ commands as we grow in maturity, right? As we grow in our faith, as our faith becomes stronger, as our relationship with God becomes stronger, we actually start to manifest what God desires in our life. And that is why it's important to understand it's not a works thing. It's not you've done this bad or you've done this good. No, it is a result of your faith. In the book of James, it teaches that faith without deeds is dead. And what he is saying is that if you claim to have faith, right, but there are no deeds that reflect your said faith, you don't have faith. Because deeds are a natural outcome of true faith. Somebody who is truly saved will reflect what God desires. And as they grow in that faith, they will reflect it more and more and more and more. I remember when we were in the mission field, people would comment about the work that we were doing and certain things about me as an individual, and I would say, guys, it has nothing to do with me. Right? It's not anything about me or who I am or what I'm doing. It is everything about who I am becoming. Right? And what I meant by that is it is because of Christ in me. I am beginning to look more like Christ because I am spending more time with Christ, and therefore I am reflecting Christ more often because I am becoming Christ-like, which is what we are called to do. We are called to be godly. We are called to be righteous. In fact, we are called already righteous, right? We are called to reflect the likeness of Christ. And so it ends up being not something I'm doing, but what I'm doing is a reflection of who I am becoming, not the other way around. It's not that I do things so I start becoming more like Christ. No, that's not what it is. It's I am becoming more like Christ, and that is reflected in my doing, right? And so there are things that we are commanded, but it's kind of like God's way of doing things. It's kind of backwards to how we do things as humanity. Even though Christ commands certain things of us, those commands will actually be fulfilled by default as we grow in our faith. It's like this weird thing that we cannot comprehend. So guys, salvation is necessary for every single human being. For the Bible teaches that we all fall short of God's glory. The Bible teaches that we all have sinned and that we are all in need of forgiveness. It's not about the sin you're committing. It's about the fact that that sin you're committing isn't forgiven. It's not about the lifestyle that you're living in. It's about the fact that the lifestyle that you're living in hasn't been forgiven. It's not about what you do. It's about what you do and what you've done has not been forgiven. And when you put your faith in Jesus and you repent and you're baptized and you receive the Holy Spirit and you receive forgiveness, those things that you are doing that are against God will eventually start to disappear as you grow in your faith and become more like God. I'm a firm believer that we do not need to tell anybody what they're doing wrong. I believe they know what they're doing is wrong. Maybe there's some cases where somebody is legitimately mentally ill and they don't know. But I believe that for the most part, people that are in their right mind know what they're doing is right or wrong. And I believe that because we are made in the image of God. We do not need to tell people that they're sinning. They're already very aware of that. But what we do need to tell them is that the sin needs to be forgiven. We don't need to tell them to stop sinning. We need to tell them that their sin needs to be forgiven. And then we need to walk with them in a discipling relationship and help them understand what it means to walk like Christ. And then let the Holy Spirit do His work in their life so they start reflecting Christ. I promise you this. God wants them to stop sinning way more than you do. And if He has placed His Holy Spirit in them, His Holy Spirit will tell them to stop sinning way better than you will. Our job is to preach the gospel. Our job is to preach repentance. Our job is to preach forgiveness. It is the Holy Spirit's job to convict. So I want to give you one last opportunity tonight. If you are listening to this, if you are sitting here, or if you are listening to this on YouTube or whatever platform, and you have not put your faith in Jesus so your sins are forgiven, I want to encourage you to do that right now. I want you to put your faith in Christ. I want you to repent. And if you need to be baptized, find somebody who will baptize you and get that done. If you do that and you don't know somebody to baptize you and you are local, come to me and we will baptize you. But every one of us is sinners, and God loves you and He wants to spend eternity with you. And the only way that's possible is if you go through His Son, Jesus Christ, to have your sin forgiven. Put your faith in Christ. Be forgiven. And live an eternity with God in fullness of life in heaven.